Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The day is surely drawing near when Jesus, God's anointed, in all his power shall appear as judge whom God appointed. Then fright shall banish idle mirth, and flames on flames shall ravage earth, as Scripture long has warned us. In our gospel lesson for this evening, our Lord tells a parable, a separation, if you will, of the good wheat, that which has produced good fruit, and the tares, the evils of this world. And his disciples do not understand. Lord, what do you mean when you say this? So you're saying there was this field, and the master of the field planted all this good seed, and the wheat grew up big and strong, but then there were tares. And so then the servant said, should I take out the tares? And the master said, no, wait, and then we'll separate them later, because if we pull out some of the weeds, we might pull up some of the good fruit as well. Lord, we don't get it. Can you help us? So he does. He tells them what this parable means. He said, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. So the good fruit, the wheat that is good and healthy, is present. It was planted by the seed that was planted by the master of the field, the Son of Man, Jesus. That seed is the word of God that is implanted in people. And that seed is designed to bring forth good fruit, to grow strong and tall. But the devil, the worker of this world, plants weeds left and right. Weeds that try to tear apart the wheat. Cares of this world. The devil has planted all sorts of treasures in our hearts in this world that try to take us away from God. The tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. Do you not see all of the wicked things around you? And God will even create them as good things, and then the devil takes and he twists them. There are so many good things that our Lord has given us. And yet when we let those things get in the way of what God has created us to do, they are works of the devil to try to destroy. They are works of the devil to try to distract us. Our Lord desires us to be with him in life and in death. It is easy enough to lie to me as your pastor. It is easy enough even to lie to yourself, but you cannot lie to God. If you are a Christian, that is, if you truly believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he went to the cross to take away your sins, and that he is risen, and that he is going to come back, then you will find yourself striving toward a life in him. You will not allow the weeds of this life, of this world, to distract you from the one thing that is needful, the one thing that will continue to build you up in him. The day is surely drawing near. The day when our Lord will return. And the fact is that none of us knows when that day is. That day could be tomorrow. And if that day is tomorrow, would you rather find yourself standing before this judge and trying to tell lies, trying to explain yourself to a most holy God who knows all things? Or would you rather give your life over to Jesus? Will you find yourself about your Father's business, or will you find yourself in the things of this world? The psalmist writes, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when I had the opportunity to hear God's word proclaimed to me, to hear that even though I am a sinner and all that I deserve is his judgment, I have a God who loved me so much that he took the punishment for me. And because he has done this, I will find myself in his house, hearing his word, and being the forgiveness of sins, taking it upon myself. Will I find myself about my Father's business? Will I receive his word? Will I receive his instruction? Will I do the things that will help and benefit me in this life as a Christian? Or am I more focused on the world? Am I more focused on the glory before men? Am I more focused on the things of this life rather than in the things of the life that is to come? The final trumpet then will sound, and all the earth be shaken, and all who rest beneath the ground shall from their sleep awaken. But all who live will in that hour, by God's almighty boundless power, be changed at his command. The separation is occurring, I believe, before our very eyes. For a very long time, our culture and Christianity got together and got along pretty well. That is, you could be a Christian and do most of the things that are done in the world, at least in a Christian nation. But the time has come now where you have to make a choice. You have to decide if you will allow the things of this world, if you allow them to trump the things of God. Will you allow the things in your everyday life to get in the way of the place where you should be? And you know you should be there, not because I, as your pastor, told you, but because God desires your fellowship. God desires communion with you. He desires you to learn of him, to hear of him, and to rejoice in the gifts that he gives. To remember that you are a baptized child of God. To point you to the altar of Jesus Christ, where he gives us his own body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of our faith. We are seeing that separation happening before us as droves of people leave the true faith. People who for a time confessed Jesus with their lips, but either because of cares of the world or for not having a firmly grounded seed are falling away. They're falling away left and right. They are being plucked up by the weeds of this world. Dear Christians, do not allow the world and the things of this world to tear you away from the good seed, from the things that are needful. There are so many things in this life, but Jesus is our all in all. He goes on to explain the harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That judgment is an all-consuming fire. It is an eternal fire that consumes over and over and over again. That the second death is much worse than the first, because the second death never ends. The hymn writer continues, "The books are opened then to all, a record truly telling what each has done, both great and small, when he on earth was dwelling. And every heart be clearly seen, and all be known as they have been, in thoughts and words and actions." As I've said, you can lie to me and I might not know the truth. You can even try to lie to yourself, but you cannot lie to the Lord. And on the last day, when the public judgment happens, when the book of life is opened and the works are read aloud, will you find yourself that day in Christ? Or will you find that the things of this life that distracted you from Christ overwhelmed your faith so much that you fell away, that you allowed the cares and the tares of this life to tear you away. On that day, you will not be able to lie to yourself, and you will not be able to lie to me, but more importantly, we will not be able to lie to the Lord. Then woe to those who scorned the Lord and sought but carnal pleasures, who here despised his precious word and loved their earthly treasures. With shame and trembling they will stand, and at the judge's stern command to Satan be delivered. On that day of the public judgment, all will know, all will confess Christ, but those who refused to confess him in this life will confess him to their eternal hell. Those who confessed him in this life will confess him for all eternity in life. My Savior paid the debt I owe, and for my sin was smitten. Within the book of life I know my life has now been written. I will not doubt, for I am free, and Satan cannot threaten me. There is no condemnation. Are you a Christian? Are you someone who confesses Jesus Christ so completely that you will allow him to direct what you do from day to day? Or have you allowed the world to get in the way of his voice? Because his voice cries out to you day in and day out. His voice cries to you to open your scripture, to hear of him, to hear of what he has done. His voice cries out for you to gather with your brothers and sisters in Christ week after week after week to sanctify the holy day, or remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, to gather so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but to hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Do we gather often to gladly hear and learn our word, the word that the Lord has to give? Or do we allow the world and the devil to get in the way? You should be so secure in your Lord that he directs your very steps day in and day out, that you don't have fear over the day that is coming. It is absolutely coming. May Christ, our intercessor, be, and through his blood and merit, read from his book that we are free with all who life inherit. Then we shall see him face to face with all his saints in that blessed place which he has purchased for us. Christianity is the most beautiful religion in the whole world because it is God that earns salvation for us. I can't save myself, and neither can any of you. The death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, his conquering of it, is what saves. If you have faith, you will live in that faith, and that faith is a gift by his grace. If you have faith, you will hearken unto his voice, and you will pray fervently for the day of our Lord's coming. And so the church sings the final stanza, O Jesus Christ, do not delay, but hasten our salvation. We often tremble on our way in fear and tribulation. O hear and grant our fervent plea. Come, mighty judge, and set us free from death and every evil. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.